Good morning and God bless you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans in the 12th chapter. And if you would stand for the reading of the word, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2, but for now I'm just going to read verse 2. And we'll call today's message, Why the Word Isn't Working. His word goes forth and it will accomplish what he sent it for. But sometimes it seems like in our lives, we got the word going, but the word isn't seeming to work. Of course, that could be our misconception about what we think the word is supposed to be doing, believing in false promises that aren't really there that we're making up and all of that, but that's not where we're going to get to today. We're going to talk about what is the greatest influence in your life and what ought to be the greatest influence in your life, and I'll just spoil the whole thing by saying it should be the word of God. But sometimes we begin to go down that path and the word doesn't seem to be working. Why is that? So let's read Romans 12:2. And praise his name for this precious word. It says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, speak, for your servants listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What is the most important inspiring and influential thing in your life? It's easy to say, well, it's the Bible, but really, is it now? Is it shaping your values, your vision, your proportion, your perception, and all of that? Well, Romans 12:2 is a key text that can help you change your life. And so I want to talk about change today, because Romans 12:2 can shape your spiritual vision and your values. We talk about a biblical worldview, and what is that? Seeing the things the way that God sees them. In other words, how you view your world, how you determine what is worth it, what to do, and what not to do. Does that sound good? Yeah, well, once we get through it, then you'll say, okay, yes. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment and imagine if you could see the world the way that God sees it and understand the world the way God understands it. And more than that, imagine if you could see you as God sees you and understand you, yourself, as God understands you. Imagine the influence that that would have over you and the way you live your life. Seriously. Imagine the peace and the joy that's going to bring to your experience. As a matter of fact, Romans 15:13 says there is joy and peace in believing that the God of hope would fill you with hope. If you could live as God would have you live. Imagine becoming more like Jesus through all the ups and downs and all arounds of life, through the troubled times, through the terrific times, through everything in between. If you could know that you're becoming more like Jesus and you could have something to do with that development. Imagine that. Well, you don't have to just imagine that. And you don't have to wait to heaven. Yes. You can have that as a reality beginning today. You can live out God's will for your life. Hear Romans 12:2 once again clearly. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern, there's so much in here, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This text, we know this, is full of hope. It's full of possibility. It's full of power, and it is full of promise. Look at that word transformed. You know what another word for transformation is? Change. Change. Does anybody need change? Yes. Is anybody changing? Yes. It is possible for, let me find some faces, for you. It is possible for you. It's possible for you. It is possible for you. And in those areas you don't think it is. Amen. My dad raised both hands. Hallelujah. It is possible. No matter what anyone else says. Hallelujah. Even if you don't think so. Oh, yes. Because God says so, and he invites you to test him on this. It means live out to prove. But I like that word testing. He's saying, look, there can be a change. Test me on this. You can stop acting like you used to act. You can start acting like God wants you to act. You can stop your stinking thinking and think God's thoughts after him. Think about the power of that. You can start thinking God's thoughts after him. You can prove to yourself and to your world that people can change, that you can change. And even if you've been a transformed person, you've been born again, and you're in that transformation process, you do have something to do about it, that you can keep that engine rolling along. Yes. You can change, and your experience can be the catalyst for others to experience the power of God for themselves. That's your witness. Evangelism, euangelion, means, you know, talking about Jesus to somebody, the evangel, the Messiah, the Christ. But your witness is just talking about what God has done in your life and witnessing to the power of Christ. And if your life can lead others to experience the power of Christ for themselves, that's quite a witness. Amen. Now, of course, the world will tell you that some people can never change. They will always be what they have always been. The world will say that once you're toxic, you're poison, and there is no antidote. I'm here living proof that that's not true. There are many people that don't know me now that used to know me then that would say they ran away from me because I was toxic. But what did Jesus do with the lepers? Amen. I'm tired of people saying, well, it's toxic, so, you know, they've got narcissistic personality disorder, so just avoid them. No. Let's minister to them. Do you trust the power of God? That people can change? That anyone can change? That you can change? That's what would be different than the world. That's what Christians would be doing that the world doesn't do. Amen? We've got some in this church, did you know that? You're among saints here. Because God says so. Again, once you're toxic, you're poison, and there's no antidote. The world says that certain people cannot be changed. They can only be managed. You ever felt like that? That people are just trying to manage your hand? They're trying to handle you? Yeah. Maybe you say that to yourself. But if you don't believe that people can change, then you don't have any hope for yourself or for anyone else. Can I say that again? If you don't believe that people can change, you don't have any hope for yourself or for anyone else. But God says otherwise. The Word of God, you read it here, we read it twice, says you can be transformed. You're either going to transcend your pain or you're going to transmit your pain. You need to be transformed through that pain into the image of Christ. Now, this text is obviously pointing to your need for the Word of God in your life. And when we say the Word of God, we mean the Bible. The Bible is the means of renewing your mind, changing what you think, how you process life, and how you make decisions. A renewed mind leads to a renewed life. Amen? The Word of God is how you know the will of God. All that's wrapped up, everything we've said is wrapped up in that text. You can see discern, you can see testing, you can see the will of God, you can see prove, live out, you can see these things. The Word of God is how you know the will of God. The Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, this is what will give you power to see as God sees and live as God intends. Amen. You can experience change, and you can know that God can change others. I wouldn't be in those places where people are saying, well, you know, I don't know about them. Would I believe that? Yes, I know, because I see it happening, and it's still happening to me. You want to be changing? Get around people who are changing. Ah. You want to be set on fire? Go where the fire is. And not the little saplings. Go where the oaks are. You may not even see that fire. You just see red hot, but you put your finger in it, you melt. Amen. Somebody catch that, please. Now, the first step is by being born again, by being a Christian in the first place, surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, giving him your sins. Forgive me of my sins because of what you've done on the cross. I trust you. And when God says you're forgiving, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. What does God say? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by what God says, not by what we see or what we feel. I just don't feel forgiven. Have you asked God to forgive you your sins? You are forgiven. Amen. I just don't feel peace. There's a lot of places in the Bible where they didn't feel peace, but they move forward in faith anyway, because faith is what gives you courage. And we see this, we think, oh, the Word of God, I know, just read my Bible more. No. That's not what I'm going to ask you. That's not what the text is going to ask you to do. But the first step is by being born again. And then your ongoing transformation, your ongoing change is a matter of the ongoing renewal of your mind. Praise God for this precious text. When I am not feeling it, when I'm not thinking it, when I'm not acting it, when I'm not doing it, I come back to this text and go, something can happen. I can change because I can think about it, change my mind. Metanoia means a change of mind, which means it leads to a change of life. But there is an issue right here in the text. As the text clearly says, being transformed by the renewal of your mind is the way to avoid being conformed to the pattern of this world. Being renewed in your mind is how you stop being conformed to the pattern of this world. Some versions say poured into the world's mold. And the Word of God helps us break that mold and fit into His mold. Amen. You're being molded by something. You're being shaped by something. Your own self. Okay, good for you, God. Think. Being transformed by the renewal of your mind is the way to avoid being conformed to the pattern of this world. Now, if you're already in it, it's still the way out. But that's the issue. Transformation, are you hearing me, requires both positive and negative actions. In other words, you need to get the Word of God working in your life, but part of that includes putting off those old patterns of life. Everybody knows that, right? Sin keeps you from the book keeps you from sin. Anybody? Amen? Somebody? You can say amen or not, but it is amen territory right here, right now. Getting that Word in your life is part of what helps keep you from that. Look at the text. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. That's putting off the world and putting on the Word. Do you know the Apostle Paul says, put off and put on, right? These things work together in concert with each other. God is working in and through that process, but it means you must do both. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Here is how. Renewal is meant to be replacement. You're taking your Bible, taking it up, and this is what helps you let go of worldliness. Let it go. Right? You have a dog, and he has a bone, and you try to pull that bone out of that Rottweiler's mouth. It just acquired a new bone, your arm. But if you have a juicy, rare, dripping with blood porterhouse, you better throw that thing down and let that dog get that, and he's going to drop that bone. You pick up your Bible, and it helps you drop those worldly things. Now, wait a minute, because you're thinking, oh, you're just saying add more Bible. No, I am not. That's why we need this message, because I want to bring some clarity here, because I'm not trying to get you to come in here every week and add one more thing to your list. Then you wear yourself out, and I don't have enough time, etc. That's what we're going to be talking about. I'm not saying that you've got to do all Bible and no social media. All Bible and no social life. All Bible and no TV. All Bible and no texting. All Bible and nothing else. No, what you need to do is make sure that the Bible is transforming the way you think. Not just what you think, but how you think. The Word of God should be defining your values, shaping your vision. The Bible should be what informs, inspires, and influences your life the most. There's the message. The Bible needs to be what informs, inspires, and influences your life the most. Not Peppa Pig. I'm not mad at Peppa Pig. I know what it is, don't I? Not the social media star, not this, not that. I'm not saying don't enjoy that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you need to know how to have that not be the greatest influence of your life and be your safety valve when you feel bad because you're going to be mad at God, so I'm just going to go do this. Oh, yes. Don't you want to change that about your life? Yeah, you do. I do. The Bible should be what informs, inspires, and influences your life the most. I don't want to just cheerlead for it. How do we do it? It should act as the filter by which you see everything else. The Bible's meant to help you truly know what to do, what not to do, and how much to do it, and the proper perspective and proportion in your experience. It's children that say, "It's the end of the world." But we do the same thing. "I lost my job. It's the end of the world." No, it's not. It's the end of that job. And sometimes the end of that job, and then the company folds because God got you out of there ahead of time. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. Now, people say, you know, God doesn't shut one door before he opens another. Yes, he does. He shuts that door, flattens you, and makes you go into the bottom. But God's still good. Maybe you need to be flattened out a little bit. God knows what he's doing. What are you doing? If your intake of the word isn't affecting your intake of the world, you're missing something. And it isn't, well, see, I know I just got to stay in my prayer closet more and listen to Jesus music more and put some Jesus junk on my car and then, you know, no. That stuff can be all well and good. But as Stephen Curtis Chapman saying, what about the change? What about the difference? What about the grace? What about the difference? I'm going to live a life that's showing I'm undergoing the change. If reading the word doesn't affect how you read life, how you see it, how you think about it, how you process it, how you approach it, then something is still not right. The word of God should affect how much you're taking in and how you process what you do take in. Of course, it isn't if you can just read the Bible all day long, never interact with the world or worldly things. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're not to be monks, we're to be missionaries. We're to be in the world, but not of it. Do you understand that? The issue is that God wants his word to be your main influence, the filter by which you see and the focus by which you process everything through. It's for your own godly good. That's what this verse in Romans, part of what it's talking about. That you would test it, you would live what's good, will, is good and perfect and everything like that, and get away from the world. By what? By renewing your mind with the word. But I am reading my Bible. For what reason? So let me say it clearly. Yes, we're supposed to participate in politics, in our communities, in society, in every sphere of life. All of Christ for all of life. But we're not to be polluted, contaminated, or corrupted by the world. You know, you can be despised by the world without being defiled by the world. That's one of the reasons why we come in here and wash feet and stuff like that. Because we get out there and we get all messy and dirty and it's tough and it's tangled and it's twisted. And we come here and get reoriented again. We need it at least once a week. Hey, I'm me, excuse me, and I need it Wednesday too, but I'll just leave that go. I need it every day. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, right? You don't take yourself out of the world. We're not moving up with our gang, our groceries, our guns up into the hills and waiting for Jesus to come back. No, that's a cult. We're not monks, we're missionaries, ambassadors of King Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, again, we talked about this earlier. The Apostle Paul speaks elsewhere of putting off one thing and putting on another. And the more you get the word into your life, you crowd out that old way of life. Hallelujah, it's true. You learn to discern what God's will is, and your mind and your will are better equipped to want to do it. If you hang out with other Christians and you keep your mouth shut because you know you'd be saying things you wouldn't have otherwise, then hang out with Christians more. You got a problem, pray for somebody else's problem. Oh, there's so much we could do. You learn to discern what God's will is. And your mind and your will are better equipped to want to do it. That's all wrapped up in this simple text. That's the way the Word of God works. You put the good stuff in, and it pushes the garbage out. Like scratching a record. Hold on. At least it's supposed to. But what about you, though? Do you feel as if the Word isn't working for you? Is there a reason? Well, let me talk about one sure way that hinders the Word of God in your life. There are others, but this is the big problem with most people. The problem for most people is that they aren't letting the Word get into every part of their lives. I could say they're not getting enough Word in their life, but then you think that just means adding more Bible. It's not that. It's that people aren't letting the Word get into every part of their lives. They compartmentalize their Christianity. It's with them here when they're at church, but it's not with them when they're watching the ball game. It's with them when they're at church or in the prayer meeting, but not when they walk into that certain place. It's with them when they're talking about this, but when they're online talking about politics, suddenly, now stay with me. This may not be what you think. In growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ, there will be other issues to address, but this issue must be addressed. Can you hear me? You need to be, I'm going to use specific words, immersed, marinated, saturated, in other words, fully engaged with the Word of God. That's the only way that you're going to be renewed in your mind to such a degree that you're transformed in every area and arena of your personal life and your practical life. Perhaps you've been dipped in it. Perhaps you've been rolled around, bathed a little in it. Maybe even some parts of your life are full of the Word of God. Maybe you're really fully engaged when you're here at church. Hallelujah. You feel good. You raise your hands. You dance around. You sing. That's great. And then it's not getting into your work life. You don't understand. There's nothing but heathens there. Well, that's why you're there. We could go on. Can you hear me now? But again, you need to be immersed, marinated, saturated with the Scriptures. In other words, you need to be dunked in it, rolled around fully in it, and so well soaked that you are permeated with the Word of God. I just don't read very well, and I don't memorize verses and all. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not how much Word you know. How much does the Word know you? You can know the Word of God and not know the God of the Word. Now, I'm getting at something here that may sound like you've heard it all before, but maybe you really haven't. I don't want to make you feel guilty. No. I want to show you how to grow. I want you to feel good and hopeful and confident that there is a clear path and a definite plan for you to start getting the Word to really have an effect on your life. Now, all that I've said up to that, do you understand what I'm saying now? I'm going to show you something. Sometimes people might not realize the avenues they have or aren't having, how little space they leave for the Word in their lives. People are immersed in the culture. They marinate their minds with social media. They're saturated with virtual reality, with politics, with any number of other things. And it's not like you don't do a lot of stuff. I do all kinds of stuff. I'm going to watch NASCAR this afternoon. I'm going to be eating some watermelon cake and some cookie cake and all kinds of things because my grandson turned 18 and today my granddaughter turns 15. They're going back home here and going off to fly in the sky or something, right? So you do these things. Those things aren't wrong in and of themselves. But the question is this, including your children, what is having the most influence on your life? You can do those things with God's Word be the influence by which you see everything and do everything. But that's the problem for most people. That's why they're not growing, because they think it's just about adding Bible verses. It's not about adding God's tools. It's about learning how to do the work with those tools. Can you hear me? But any other things, that's what's having the most effect on certain people's lives. I've been there. That's what's shaping their goals and their dreams. Everybody's doing YouTube. I'm doing YouTube. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're doing the other thing. And so every teenager wants to be an influencer now. When everybody's an influencer, no one's an influencer. You want to lead the field, this, that, and the other thing. How about being a doctor or a lawyer or a plumber or anything? Do something. Make something. Be something. Anyway, I could go on and on about what Paul says about working with your hands, but I won't. The point is, the Word of God is crowded out. Or it comes into a Sunday morning and maybe just every other week or so and hopefully less than an hour space. That's the question you need to ask yourself. What is informing, inspiring, and influencing my life the most? But the Bible's so boring. No, you're boring. If you're bored, then you're boring. Sorry. I know all the songs and all that, but, you know, it used to be when I was growing up, I could name every quarterback and every backup quarterback on every NFL team. And I'm getting to the point where I know every single paint scheme and every driver's number in NASCAR. I know there's 37 today. Last week there was 36. You know these things. But you can know these things and have a mind that keeps trivia and things like that and still be processing through the Word of God. See, this is where the struggle is. Because we think it's just add more Bible and call me in the morning, and it isn't. You know, if I had all these things, I take so many pills, but if I take the wrong ones, it doesn't do me any good. It'd probably do me bad. See, I'm talking about changing your life, whether you just came out of the prison, or you're still in the prison, you're in the poorhouse, you're in the outhouse, you're in the penthouse. It doesn't matter. If you're young, you're old, you can be transformed. But there's one way, he says, to do it. Not by reading the Enneagram or running a labyrinth or anything else that's crazy. By the Word of God. That's how. It's not wrong to do those other things, but you do them in light of the Word of God. That's the center. Everything else is orbiting around that, not things outside of the Word of God. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Boy, I love technology, but I'm slow figuring it out. What is informing, inspiring, and influencing your life the most? Now, you might think, JD's going into the kitchen. You might think that you just got to have your alone time. Made you mad yet? Here it comes. Or my family time. Or whatever. I'll let you off the hook. I'm not trying to begrudge you that. And I'll talk about your time here in a moment. The point is that instead of the Word saturating every part of your life, it's compartmentalized for when you think you need it. You're just going to whip them out like some pocket Jesus. Like a magic amulet. Right? Give me those fighter verses. I'm not saying it's wrong to have fighter verses. I'm saying if your sword isn't sharp, a dull blade ain't going to make the right cuts. Can you hear me? You know, it's as if you expect that since the Word of God is divine, it will replace your discipline. It will not. Now, Romans 12:2 comes on the heels of Romans 12:1, which says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, after all that he said in chapters 1 through 11 about the human condition and about God's provision and about salvation and sanctification, and he's about to go into service, and before he says that, now, because of all that, I appeal to you, brothers. We sang it this morning, by him, through him, to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, because of all that, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. All your problems are worship problems. Oh, yes. Now, when you put Romans 12, 1 and 2 together, it tells you that you need to sacrifice some of those things you might like to do for the most important thing you need to do. A living sacrifice. There are certain things you want to do, but there's certain things that are more important to do. It's not like you never do what you want to do. And it's not like God doesn't change what you want to do into what he wants. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't mean a Cadillac. It means if you delight in the Lord, he's going to give you more Lord. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means Jesus himself, and all these things, food, clothing, and shelter, will be added unto you. But you don't do transactional, do this to get this. He's saying, if you're doing this, believe me, you're going to be thinking about this. The other stuff will take care of itself. Aha. Uh-huh. So that means I'm going to be lazy and do nothing. Of course not, because if you're actually following him, he works. Jesus does work. Jesus was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. I play golf. Oh, wait. I don't play golf, but again, it's not all this text says. But putting Romans 12, 1 and 2 together, you need to sacrifice some of the things you might like to do in order to do things that you need to do. Think of Mary and Martha. There is your answer. You have to give up some things, sacrifice them to make time in order to get the word working in your life so you won't be fit into the pattern of this world and you'll be able to live out the will of God in your experience. Now I want to talk about experience real quick. Because sometimes we look for emotional or transformational encounters outside the Word of God rather than saturating ourselves with the Word of God. I love feeling. We were talking about before we came on air here or while we were doing earlier. We were saying, you know, I just felt like I just wanted to keep going. The worship was so good and all that. Of course, this is worship as well. Studying God's Word with God's people. A man empowered by God's Spirit. Oh, yes. Sometimes that's what we're looking for first. It's as if we need validation for what God's already said, because then it's speaking to me. He's speaking to you now. Again, we want a transformational moment, but we don't want the transformational process. You see, sanctification, growing in grace, being changed is more a process than a crisis. Not that crisis events don't happen, they do. But if you're looking for that every Sunday, I don't want to have a crisis event every Sunday. But I want to be changed every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because you can be changed on Sunday and mean it every Sunday, and then Monday afternoon, rah! Yeah. Again, we want a transformational moment, but not a transformational process. But I'm not trying to beat you up. We mean well. We want to do it the right way. And so what happens is when we hear a message like this, we're convicted about it. But then we think it just means we need to spend more time in our Bibles, as if it's just one more thing to add to your to-do list. And when you try and do that, what happens? You wear yourself out. You wake up at 4:30 in the morning, read half an hour Bible every day, and after about 2.5 weeks, you're like, no way. And God's not mad at you. But then you wear yourself out and you reason, I just don't have enough time. And here we are to the clarifying message that I want to bring to you from this text. You don't need more time. You need to better use your time. To replace your time. To make time. You see, I'm not saying you just need to add more and more Bible to your routine. I'm saying that you need to change your routine. I don't want you to wear yourself out. I want you to wise yourself up. Replace time in the world with time in the Word. That will always work. You can fool me, but you can't fool God, and please don't fool yourself. You don't get to shortcut the process of transformation. Just go from meeting to meeting, finding where you think the fire is, and then you'll get lit and stay lit, and you're going to burn on both ends, and you're going to burn out. You don't get to the place of change without continuing to change. Continual renewing of your mind. You renewed your mind first, said, I'm going to have repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now give me my marching orders. And for the first while, it's all fantastic. And then things happen. What do you do? Can you hear me? Transformation. Let me say this slowly and hope you get it. Transformation isn't a matter of memorizing Bible verses for when you need a little more help. It's not a matter of just getting put things on your refrigerator so that you can use them. And, oh, I wish I had that with me. I forgot that one. Yes, you should memorize Bible verses. But transformation is about being changed, not just using the tools of change. A lot of people can know a lot of Bible and still have only a little bit of the Word working in their life. They treat God's Word like a college course they just need to get through in order to graduate. But the Word of God working in your life is a lifetime journey. It's not something you graduate from. It's something you got to keep pouring yourself into. You get to the place of change, and then you desire change, and then you continue to change by continuing to put off the world and put on the Word, getting it working in your life, renewing your mind, so that when you feel certain things, what does the Word of God say? When you don't have the courage, what does the Word of God say? Faith and is not the and. Faith is how you develop courage. Courage is not in the lack of fear. It's in the face of fear. Maybe God's word isn't working because you're neglecting that growth instead of nurturing that growth. And this is where faith comes in. As I mentioned a little while ago, Romans 15:13 says there's joy and peace and believing. Are you really believing what God has said? Not just what resonates with you. Lots of things can resonate with people in a church, and they resonate with out there in the world too. And they think that the Bible says God helps those that help themselves, and it doesn't. He helps those that know they need help and come to Him for that help. I mean, it's easy to be Jordan Peterson and say things that make sense. That's not bad. I'm not saying that's bad. But where's the Word of God? Now, he's starting to use the Word of God, and I think he's getting close to the kingdom. Amen. My point is not to bash him. My point is to bash your old man and say, put on the new man. And how do you do that? I put on the new man. I put on the helmet of salvation. Oh, come on, superstitious. If you need to do that, I get it. You do it. You don't just say it. The words don't make it happen. His word makes it happen. Ooh, that was neat. I hope I'm making some sense to you. If you're hearing, just add more Bible, that's not it. That's like taking, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. That's like a man talking to his wife. Just tell me what to crush, kill, or destroy. All I want you to do is listen. Listen. I can repeat everything that you just said. And my wife said, that doesn't mean you're listening to me. Whoops. Oh, I could go the other way with it. Oh, yes. All men are not stupid. Men are the leaders. Oh, yes. We're missing that in today's society. And we need it. But that means our sisters need to keep us in check. That's why we're different. Because we could be stupid, but we're being allowed to be stupid, and we shouldn't be stupid. What does the Word of God say? What does it say about your transformation? It says it can happen. It will happen if you do this and do this. What's having the most effect on your life? Oh, my. Are you believing what God's saying? Now, see, here's the thing. God's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to trust the one who is, Jesus. Are you lacking in assurance of your salvation? I just don't feel saved. 1 John 3:20 says that whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. What God says about you is true. Hallelujah. You ask 100 different people about me and you're going to get, maybe 40-60, I won't even say 50-50. But what God says is more important, more valuable, and truer than what the world or what your feelings say about you. Just keep your conscience clear. And if your conscience is bothering you, say, Lord, help me to do this. And if you have asked for forgiveness, you have it. Keep a short account that way. Repentance starts with confession. But not just confession as to it's a sin, confession that God has forgiven it, and confession that God has changed. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Doesn't mean you might not do it again. It means he's not going to hold it against you again. These are basic things that we don't get into our heart, but he spent 11 chapters describing all this, and then he finally says, this is what you do with it. All that incredible theology. And then, now this is what you do with it. Get the Word of God into your heart and out through your life. And that way you're not going to be conformed to be like the rest of the world that's anxious and worried and angry with no real love, joy, or peace, only manufactured love, joy, and peace. And certainly no long suffering. Patience, that means. With people. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. is that flowing through your life? How does the Spirit of God produce the fruit of the Spirit through the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit? And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, but it's up to you to keep that sword sharp. Otherwise, you're just reading verse and And sometimes it'll be like, yeah, and it will, and God's doing that. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. But wouldn't you rather it always be that way instead of trying to open your Bible, talk to me, God? Sometimes you can do that, yeah. But wouldn't you like to drop it and open it up and every time it was that? How about if you're reading the book of Numbers, which is about numbers, by the way? Chronicles, which is about the Chronicles, so it's got all those names in it. What if you got something out of that? Wow. Not something silly, and I saw this, and it was this, and woo, and try to do some kind of numerology and silly stuff like that. I'm talking about the basic facts of the Bible, and the basic facts is that God wants to transform you, and he tells you how to do it and what tool he places in your hand to shape your life. If you've confessed your sins to God in faith, trusting Jesus Christ as your sin-bearing Savior, then he has forgiven you. Is anyone in this place forgiven? I thought I was being manipulative. Raise your hands. Yes. You're forgiven, whether you feel like it or not. And if you're desperate for this change, the change you need is a change in you. And God's Word can give you that change. It will tell you what's wrong, and it'll tell you how to make things right. It'll help you see the world the way that God sees it. Well, just tell me the exact verses. It doesn't work like that. It's passages, and verses are in the passages, and they're in context, and then they blow up because you understand some of that context, and then they really have root, and they're not just stuff you put on your refrigerator. I'm not against that. I know we start there, but wouldn't you like it when if it just became not that, and I'm just looking for verses, and rather his word is speaking to me at all times and building me up, and I'm not looking for something right now. I'm looking for something to build me up so that I'll be able to deal with it right then. Ooh, that's a man or woman of God, rightly discerning the word of truth, an approved workman that doesn't have to be ashamed. Yeah. You're not having to go around looking for me or anybody else. You're wearing it and you're walking it, baby. Oh, yes. We all need to be ministered to, but we can all learn to minister, and that ministers to us. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Lord willing, I'll say it 1,000 more. I may be in the pulpit, but I am not beyond the pulpit. The Lord is speaking to me now as well, because your feelings lie to you all the time. But we walk by faith, not by feelings. You can understand things the way God understands, including yourself. The Word of God will help you see you as God sees you. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you can understand God, you as God understands you. You can understand God as he's revealed himself, to know God and to make him known. Not just by our words, but by our life, it speaks. Abel was dead, and his life still spoke. Here's your application. Boom, boom. One sentence. Make a commitment to make the Word of God the one thing that informs, inspires, and influences your life the most. Turn to God, turn some pages, and turn your life around. Father, thank you, Jesus, indeed. Lord, your word is so powerful beyond what we can ask or think. And it's not some magic book. It is your book. It's not something that we have to decode. It's something that decodes us. Lord, that we would take this precious promise that we don't have to be conformed to the world. We can submit ourselves as a living sacrifice, ready to give up whatever it takes for you to work through us, and you will, and we can enjoy it, even in things that aren't enjoyable. We can look ahead and say that this is going to form me. Everything is working together to make me more like Jesus. and we can process through the Word of God how safe, how significant, how secure is that? Help us to feel that, know that, live that. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.